Welcome to Least of These, where I cover the cases that need it most, because every life matters and everyone deserves justice. I'm your host, Leah D, and today I'll be covering the case of Kenneth Peterson in Phoenix, Arizona. Let's get right to it. Seventy-nine-year-old Kenneth Peterson was the handyman of his neighborhood near Indian School Road and 27th Avenue in Phoenix. He was the guy who everyone came to for help, the stand-in dad or grandpa to anyone who needed him to be. The children in the neighborhood actually called him grandpa. He had lived in that same neighborhood since the 1970s. And serving others wasn't something Kenneth decided to take up once he got to the ripe old age of 80 either. Kenneth Maynard Peterson had served others his whole life. Born on October 21, 1942 in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, he spent his early life there in Wisconsin, graduating from Rice Lake High School in 1960, and then he entered the United States Navy, spent 7 years serving in the Navy, and then switched military branches and enlisted in the Air Force, which is where he finished his career, retiring in Phoenix as a technical sergeant in 1985, with a combined 23 years of service to his country. Even after retirement, Kenneth Peterson wasn't done serving. He had obtained his college degree while in the service and put it to use for the next 20 years working for the state of Arizona. He made his home there in Arizona with his wife. Her name was Suntok, and the couple had met and fell in love while he was stationed in Korea. They never had any children of their own, but poured into the lives of those around them. Kenneth and Suntok also served in several churches and contributed to ministries all over the globe. Kenneth studied the Bible, wrote biblical lessons, and mentored others. At some point, Suntok passed away. Through his grief, Kenneth remained in their home, active in the church and taking care of the whole neighborhood. KOLD 13 reported that in 2020, Kenneth Peterson befriended and took in a woman who was struggling. She was 54-year-old Ramona Gonzalez. You see, Ramona struggled with addiction and Kenneth thought he could help her. He could provide her with a safe place to stay, hoping that maybe that would help her stay sober. And for a while at least, it seemed to work. But at some point, everything changed. Ramona Gonzalez relapsed and began using drugs again. Kenneth Peterson told her to leave, and for a time, she did. Of course, when she came back around looking for help, Kenneth let her come back into his home. He really just wanted her to get the help it was obvious she needed. By this time, it was April of 2022. When Ramona Gonzalez came back this time, she wasn't exactly alone. This time, she brought a friend by the name of Thomas Samuel Wallace. He was 58 years old, and it seems he, like Ramona, struggled with addiction. Kenneth wanted to help him, too. He'd been a mentor to many, and at 79 years old, he was experienced in helping people get back on their feet. So he agreed to try and help Thomas Wallace, too. Wallace began staying over at the house, at least part-time living there. And it seems that's when things really began to fall apart. Fast forward to the early fall around September of 2022. Kenneth's extended family and friends in the neighborhood began to grow concerned. No one had heard from him and he hadn't been seen out and about in the neighborhood. Obviously, this would be concerning for anyone, but Kenneth was almost 80 years old and a diabetic. Those that knew and loved him were concerned that something was wrong. Maybe he'd had a medical emergency and been unable to get help. So they called the Phoenix police multiple times requesting a welfare check. The calls spanned over weeks, and if police ever made their way out to Kenneth's home, they certainly never made contact with anyone or made entry into the house. September turned into October and then early November, with Kenneth's extended family pleading with police to go and check on him. On November 3, 2022, Phoenix police finally made their way to the home of 79-year-old Kenneth Peterson after multiple requests for a welfare check, and this time they made entry into the home. 12 News reported that upon opening the door, officers were hit with the odor of human decomposition. It didn't take long for police to discover that Kenneth Peterson hadn't just succumbed to any complication of diabetes or died a natural death due to his age. 79-year-old Kenneth Peterson had been brutally murdered, and that was evident as soon as investigators stepped into his home. Blood spatter was visible on the living room ceiling, walls, and furniture. There were obvious signs that someone had tried to clean up blood from the floor. Kenneth's dismembered body was found in black trash bags and in a laundry basket, the body parts stacked in between layers of linens. Kenneth Peterson was dead. But where were Ramona Gonzalez and Thomas Wallace? As investigators spoke to Kenneth's family, they learned that Ramona had again relapsed on drugs, and that in the months prior to the murder, things had begun to spiral. Kenneth's possessions were being pawned and his truck had been routinely stolen. Now, it's unclear if any of this had been reported to police prior, but from what's available publicly, it doesn't appear that it was. It kind of seems like Kenneth was still trying to help these people out. He was almost 80 years old, and his extended family lived out of state, and that Gonzalez and Wallace took full advantage of that, manipulating an elderly man who had health problems. I mean, it wasn't that hard to do. Again, there's really not much reporting on any of that, but I'm still of the belief that 2 plus 2 always equals 4. Anyhow, it didn't take long for police to find Ramona Gonzalez and Thomas Wallace. They were immediately tracked down to a local motel. And you know how they had gotten there? In the victim's truck, which they were still in possession of. Ramona Gonzalez and Thomas Wallace were arrested. As investigators began to put together a case against the two, they located surveillance video from a pawn shop from October 26th. Wallace and Gonzalez were captured pawning a box of items. The pair were paid $50 in exchange for this mystery box. Investigators seized the items, and when the box was opened, it was like something straight out of a scary movie. They opened the box and again were hit with the odor of human decomposition. Inside the box was a camera, a hedger, and a 10-inch chainsaw. Court documents obtained by 12 News state that police found, quote, torn flesh, ligaments, and biological matter on the chainsaw. Police had found their murder weapon. Business cards belonging to the victim were also found in the camera bag. Thomas Wallace's charges were upgraded to murder, and his bond was set at $1 million. Wallace lawyered up immediately and refused to speak with investigators. But Ramona Gonzalez sat down to talk. She told investigators that she wasn't staying at the home with Kenneth because Thomas Wallace's behavior had become erratic, and she was afraid something was going to happen. And then she admitted that actually, she knew it had happened. At least since September 30th, she knew that Wallace had murdered Kenneth Peterson. How? Well, because Wallace had made statements to her inferring he had murdered Kenneth. And after he did, on September 30th, she had broken into Kenneth's home with a friend because she was worried about him. 7 News reported that when Gonzalez and this unknown friend broke into the home, they saw blood on the front living room floor and discovered Kenneth's body. So she knew he was dead, but she never placed a call to police, and instead continued to stay at the hotel with Wallace and drive around in the victim's truck. Why? I'm not sure she had a good explanation for that because I don't think there is one. And who was the friend? The truth is, I can't tell you because I don't know. The unnamed friend wasn't mentioned again in any of the reporting I found. But that makes two people who knew this elderly man was dead and did nothing about it. Ramona Gonzalez wouldn't be charged in the actual murder, though. On May 10, 2024, she pled guilty to trafficking in stolen property and unlawful use of means of transportation. She was sentenced to 5 years in prison and agreed to testify against her co-defendant, Thomas Wallace. In the early spring of 2025, the trial for Thomas Wallace began. AZ Central was one of the few news organizations to report on the trial. Wallace's trial lasted a month. Prosecutors painstakingly walked the jury through every detail of the case, the surveillance video from the pawn shop, the evidence recovered from the chainsaw, and the fact that Thomas Wallace was driving Kenneth's truck after the murder. The prosecution contended that Thomas Wallace had attacked Kenneth with a chainsaw and brutally murdered him, all because he wanted to get a little money from pawning Kenneth's possessions. This man who had helped him, who probably would have given him the money had he just asked, was murdered and dismembered for a little more than $50. Prosecutors also presented evidence that Wallace not only killed Kenneth, but had also threatened Ramona Gonzalez if she didn't cooperate. Ramona testified about the threats and how Wallace had basically confessed, implying to her that he had murdered Kenneth. And when it came to the defense, well, Thomas Wallace chose to represent himself, of course, against advice of counsel. Judge Joseph Kiefer assigned standby counsel, but Wallace continued on representing himself. Wallace didn't present much of a defense, and instead saved it all for closing arguments, seemingly hoping some last-ditch speech could spare him a conviction. But the prosecution's closing arguments were going to be hard to follow with any hope of swaying a jury. Because during its close, prosecutors let the jury hear Thomas Wallace in his own words and recorded jailhouse phone calls. In one call, he said, "It don't matter. There's no eyewitness. The only eyewitness is me, him, and God, and he can't testify. God, I think, might be a little too busy to come down and go to court." In another, he said, "All you gotta do is say you feared for your life because you killed somebody that threatened you." And in yet another call between Wallace,
"Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally."
Then his co-defendant, Ramona Gonzalez, he said, "Shut your mouth and quit talking about it, and don't threaten me about being a secret witness. 'Cause I'll swear up and down, you orchestrated it." And with that, it was Wallace's turn. He began by claiming his rights had been violated during the trial, tried to argue that the police investigation was flawed and officers had actually presented false evidence against him. Judge Joseph Kiefer tried to cut him off, but Wallace continued, stating, "What the judge doesn't want you to hear about is evidence of misconduct." At that point, the judge ordered the jury out of the room. Outside of the jury, Judge Kiefer asked Wallace for a rundown of the topics he planned to speak about during his closing arguments, explaining to Wallace that introducing new claims not presented during trial would be inadmissible. Wallace continued to argue with the judge and at one point told the judge to stop talking. Of course, Judge Kiefer threatened to have him removed from the courtroom and to have his standby counsel deliver the closing arguments. Wallace responded, "I'm not scared of you. I'm getting sick of this. You know what? Do what you gotta do because I'm saying what I gotta say." Ultimately, after the back and forth, Wallace shut up long enough for the jury to be brought back in, and he delivered his closing arguments, telling jurors that Ramona Gonzalez's testimony was unreliable and alluding that he had killed Kenneth Peterson in self-defense. Like a 58-year-old man was defending himself from a 79-year-old diabetic. But I mean, it was his story and the judge let him tell it. At least, kind of. And with that, the jury was off to deliberate. On March 14, 2025, after one day of deliberation, the jury was back with their verdict. Thomas Samuel Wallace was convicted of one count of first-degree murder, one count unlawful use of means of transportation, two counts trafficking in stolen property, and one count concealment of a dead body. A month later, on April 10, 2025, he was sentenced to his natural life behind bars. He is currently serving his sentence at ASPC Winslow, in Winslow, Arizona, and he will die in prison. Ramona Gonzalez is serving the remainder of her time at ASPC Perryville in Goodyear, Arizona. According to DOC records, her projected release date is 11/22/2025. She was sentenced to 5 years, but as we all know, 5 years doesn't mean 5 years, even though it absolutely should. But that's a different story for another day. Kenneth Maynard Peterson will forever be remembered as a man who dedicated his life to serving others, a veteran who served his country and then turned around and served his community. He still lit up his front porch green to show support for the military. One neighbor who had known Kenneth since the 1970s spoke to 12 News. Her name was Ruby, and she said, "It's a sad thing for it to happen to him because he didn't deserve that. He was a good neighbor. He would help anybody. He would go over and help at the church." Another neighbor, Monica, who knew Kenneth for just 4 years, spoke to the outlet too. And she said, "When we first moved in, he presented himself to us to get to know us and everything. He would always bring my kids fruits over that he had left over, any type of stuff that he had, candy sometimes because he said he was diabetic, so he would take that stuff to our house. He was the neighborhood dad, the neighborhood grandpa, a mentor, and a friend. At nearly 80 years old, he was still out there, just making other people's lives better, and that's exactly what he should be remembered for." And that, my friends, is all I've got for this week. Be sure to join me next Thursday for an all-new episode. In the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram at least_of_these or my Facebook at leastofthesepodcast. And if you're sick of ad interruptions, I've got good news for you. You can get all your episodes ad-free just the way you like them for just $2 a month. And as a member of Patreon, you'll be the first to be notified when new tiers will launch with exclusive episodes and a few bonus surprises. Head on over to patreon.com/leastofthese to support the show today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring. If you know something, say something. And until next time, be good to each other. Well, hey there, I'm so glad you stuck around. First, I just gotta say that this case is awful. All this man ever wanted to do was help these people, and in return they murdered him, and Ramona helped cover up the crime. I mean, 5 years is crazy work to me. I get that she felt threatened, but you had a whole ass friend with you. You know, if you would have called the police and said, "Hey, there's, you know, he's murdered my friend, you know, the guy who was helping me," I'm sure he wouldn't have been able to get to you anymore, but you didn't. But you gotta live with that. But 5 years, and gonna be out before Thanksgiving. What'd that say, 11/22? That's like in a couple weeks. Is that even before Thanksgiving? What day does Thanksgiving fall on this year? I don't even know. But it sure doesn't seem like enough time, especially for someone who helped you and who had done nothing in life other than help others. It's a terrible situation all the way around. And I hate cases like this because I feel oftentimes in true crime, some of the cases with older victims don't get covered. And I don't really understand why that is, because to me, there's something so horrific about that. Like, you made it through your whole life. You stayed alive. You're in your retirement years, your golden years, you're just supposed to be able to relax and play golf. And someone comes in and brutally murders you with a chainsaw over like $50 worth of property. That's insane to me. And I hate it so much. And that's really all I can say about it, is that, you know, last week we talked about losing our humanity. I think attacking a 79-year-old man shows you don't really got that much humanity left. But what I felt was kind of interesting is that Ramona does have a history of arrests, mostly drug-related, of course. She was struggling with addiction, and Ramona had spent time in prison prior. But as far as Wallace goes, at least in Arizona, he didn't have a prison record. Now, I probably should have searched to see if he had a record anywhere else, but it doesn't matter at this point. I mean, he got natural life in jail, but, well, not jail, prison. However, he'd never been in prison in the state of Arizona before, at least according to the DOC records, which is interesting. But before I hop off of here tonight, I do want to take time to say thank you to everyone who reached out after last week's episode. I want you to know that I was and am so troubled by the recent events, and it seems like even since those events have happened, there's been more shootings, more violence, more calls for violence, and it's just the most disheartening thing. But I will tell you that I was terrified to release that episode. And the reason that I was terrified was because if I lose this platform, I feel like I'm failing the victims' families that I represent. And I knew there was a chance that it wouldn't go so well, because we've become so polarized that you can't even talk about an event that happened without getting attacked for it. And those attacks did come. I think I was called racist and a pedophile, which is laughable because, like, what did that even have to do with my message? Nothing at all. But the overwhelming majority was very positive. The overwhelming majority thanked me for being brave, and you don't have to do that. I should always be brave. I should have never questioned it. But I did, and I will say that for someone who has spent her life not being afraid to say what I think, it's a crazy time when I took pause to just put out that message because I didn't feel like there was anything political about it. Now, people took it that way, and that's fine if you did. Yes, I have my political beliefs. I'm not going to share them with you because I'm a true crime podcaster. And my opinion on politics doesn't matter. But political violence is also a crime, and it has to be talked about because that's not where this country needs to go. It's not the direction we need to head in at all. I meant it when I said, like, literally the answer to all of this is just to love each other and talk to each other. And I stand by what I said. And if that makes me a racist pedophile, well, what the hell am I supposed to do about that, y'all? But those comments were so minor and so silly. But most of you were so kind. And I mean, we're the answer, guys. It'll never happen until we come together and start loving each other again. So that is my invitation to you. Just be loving each other, okay? Get out there and make a difference in your community. That's my advice. I don't give a damn how you vote. And don't buy into all the negativity. I do feel like sometimes we hop online and we see it and it's like, it's so blatant and in our faces. And then you like step out into the real world and people are just like normal and nice. And everybody just gets along and you just go get your groceries. And you speak to each other when you pass each other and say hi. And if you don't do that, you should do that. Because you know what? You don't know how bad somebody needs to hear a hi sometimes. But online's not real life. And I think sometimes we get caught up in it. And I know it does me no favors to tell y'all, yeah, log off. I know it does me no favors since my like podcast is online and on a phone. But sometimes we need to log off and put the phone down. And I hate to be the guy that says, like, yeah, go touch grass, but seriously, try it. If you're feeling frustrated and overwhelmed by everything that's going on, just go be with people and you'll see that that's not real life. We don't really hate each other like that. Come on now. I appreciate all of you for reaching out. I appreciate all of you. I never should have doubted my listeners, because there was a couple. I'm not going to say that there wasn't, but the overwhelming majority of you understood exactly what I meant. And you're just as concerned for what's going on in the world. And I knew that I had a bunch of caring listeners. I knew that my listeners were superior. I knew that my listeners would understand. And I was right. And I love y'all so much for that. I really, really, really do. It makes me proud of the little community that we've built here. So proud. So if I didn't love y'all more than my luggage before, I definitely love y'all more than my luggage now. And I can't wait to talk at you next week. But until then, bye, bullfang.